years, and Paul Whitley, one of our missionaries that we've been supporting for over 10 years, I would say, maybe 15 or so, is back. If you would, as unto the Lord, let's stand and thank God for the gift of Paul Whitley.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. I really appreciate this background here. For those of you who get our newsletters, you're aware that we have added Canada to our list of countries that the Lord is sending us to. And it's colder there than it is here. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me in July, I think I shared this last year, we have been working Bolivia, even though we go down in July, which is their winter, and it can get kind of cold for my wife, who's from below Miami. And she had just spoken to me that she was not sure how long she could continue our coming there when it was so cold. And I just loved it because here it's 105 and down there it's like 35, and it comes at a good time of the year for me. And I said, well, you know, we can maybe come at a different time and change some things around. We don't have to be here in July. Of course, our next time we'll take a team down there will be July of 2018. So I began to seek the Lord for His will and His purpose and His scheduling. And the Lord took me in a vision, I guess you might say, to Northwest Territories of Canada. And I said, that must not be the Lord, because I just had this conversation with my wife that she didn't like cold weather. And seriously, it took me about a month, 2 months before I finally broached the subject with her. And her response to that was immediately, well, when can we go? Are we going right now? Is it somewhere real close? And it took about 6 months before we got our first open door. And then in May, we were there. And God began to open up doors among First Nations, which we call Indians here in this country. There's over 600 reservations of Indians all throughout Canada. Now, we're not going to be going to all of those, I don't believe. I probably don't have that many years left. But we will be working among the Cree Indian. We've already been there, worked with them, and they've invited us to come back and go up into the Hudson Bay area where there are no roads into those towns. And most of the ministry will be taking place in the coldest months of the year, because there's a lot of snowfall, and they use the snow to level out the land so that you can drive on it. And we have to wait for the rivers and all waters to freeze at least 4 foot deep to take care of the weight of the vehicles. I hope it was only the vehicles they were talking about being heavy. And so we're looking forward to that. So I really appreciate the backdrop. And the next one was of the trees with the snowy road. And I just love the outdoors and those kinds of situations. And I was supposed to be leaving on it was the day, I think, right after your women's meeting is going to be. I think you said the 23rd. And they called and said, we don't have enough snow yet. We're going to have to put that off until March. And I thought, well, I just went to the Army-Navy store, and I bought all the Arctic gear that I will need to be able to survive those temperatures. But I'm excited about it. I like cold weather. We lived in Poland for 7 years where we had snow 10, 12 foot deep. So I think I'm ready. I was really excited about it during the warm months of the year, and now that it's gotten cold, I'm not as excited as I was, but I'm sure I'll get there. Well, when I saw Pastor at conference, and we talked about my coming, and I mentioned coming last Sunday, and he said, well, I'd like to kind of have the first Sunday of the year. And I said, well, that's fine, I'll come the second. And then I'm still getting the first Sunday, aren't I? God just worked that out for some reason. You get the rest another Sunday. But I'd like to talk with you about a subject that has been preached on and taught on. It's been very prevalent in the charismatic Pentecostal circles now for several years, but I have a little different slant to it than maybe what you've heard before. And so let's go to 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. Karen and I, because we are full-time ministry, we have the privilege and the opportunity to spend every morning with the Lord for a few hours, reading the Word and studying, meditating, preparing, praying together. And in our prayer, we pray for four things. We pray for many things, but we have these four things that we always lift up to the Lord, and they are made in the way of declarations. We declare prosperity over our lives. We declare healing and health and strength and vitality over our lives. We declare protection over our lives because we do a tremendous amount of travel. And you can just get hurt in your inside your house or in your yard. A limb could fall on you and kill you. And Satan is always out to kill, steal, and destroy. So we take it very seriously that we pray for protection. And then we pray for success. And I really like that last one because there are things, all of us have many things that we do during the day. And sometimes there just seems to be this little demon that comes along that tries to make everything difficult. Have you ever had a day where it doesn't matter what you do, it seems to go wrong? I had one of those the other day, and I understood where it was coming from and immediately took authority over it, and it went away, and the rest of the day was good. But I had a situation happen to me. I am not mechanically inclined at all. My dad tried to fix everything, and he was an impatient man, and I just seemed to be the brunt of his impatience sometimes, and it just turned me against doing anything mechanical with cars. Dad would be under the car. We lived on a dirt road, and, you know, it rains from time to time, and dust turns to dirt, turns to mud. That turns loose when you try to get under the car and work on it, and you get dust in your eyes and in your mouth and everything, and that causes anybody, whether you're impatient or not, to kind of be a little short with people around you. And so I was the brunt of his impatience. And so I don't like mechanical work. And the other day I had a light bulb go out on my car. And I don't know if you are mechanical. If you do, you're wondering, well, why is he up so upset about a light bulb? But if you haven't done it lately, you can't just change a light bulb. You've got to take about four things off before you get to the light bulb. And then it's not the headlamp, it's a bulb inside. You got to figure out which. Well, anyway, I was facing that, and I didn't really want to be out there in the cold weather taking things off and wondering, am I going to put it back the way it's supposed to be? You know, some of you are laughing because you've experienced that. So I just said a prayer. I said, Lord, help me to be successful today, especially with this, because this looks like it might be hectic if I'm not real careful. So Lord, just help me today, make me successful. And I had that light bulb out and put back in like 4 minutes. And I said, I really appreciate the Lord answering that prayer. But I pray for success in everything I do. And so if we go to 3 John chapter, well, it's only one chapter, but verse 2, it says this, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. We spend a lot of time talking about prosperity of our pocketbooks, but I want you to know there's something that must come first, and it is more important than our pocketbooks, and that is that our soul prospers. Amen. The word here for prosper, and I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know very much about Greek. I can spell it if it's in front of me. But it looks like it's eudo, E-U-O-D-O-O. But regardless, it means to help on the road or succeed in reaching. A good example of it would be, may you prosper on your journey, or may you prosper in what you have to do today. In other words, it comes down to being, may you be successful in everything that you do and everywhere you go today. And so when he asks for us to prosper, he's really praying that we would be successful. If you look in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and if I don't use the version you use, I'm sorry, but I'm using New American Standard. And this is the way it reads. In verse 1, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 3, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. What he's saying is, get ready, listen, obey, and succeed. That's what he told Joshua. And he told him that he would prosper, he'd be successful. In verse 7, he continues, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. May you prosper in your journey. And then in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. As I was reading that, I got to thinking about what it was like in those days. When he said the law, the word, all they had were the five books of Moses. Had a lot of law in it, had some history, had some stories in there, had some good examples. But today you and I carry a Bible with us, whether it be electronic or in print, and that is what we're to meditate upon and to obey and to study, so that we would be successful, so that whatever we do, we will prosper at. And I work it, like I say, we're working up among the Cree and even the Inuit up above the Arctic Circle. And we had the opportunity to go there for 8 days to do a discipleship training class for leaders. And people came, these were mostly young people, under 40, I would say, anyway. And those people had to pay their own airfare, and the only way they could get there was by air, because there's no roads. And so they spent over $2,000 each out of their own pocket for a ticket to get there so that they could be in those 8 days of classes. That's serious discipleship. And some of them had to travel by air over 4 days to get there so that they could learn. And I think today that we're so blessed to have the Word of God that we can study, we can meditate upon, we can have studies on, like the ladies are starting. I think of Paul, the apostle, and how he would go from place to place, country to country, village to village. And he didn't have the Bible to give them. He was in the midst of writing the New Testament. And he didn't have all the wisdom and the knowledge that we have today in written form that he could say, turn to, and they could study. Or he said, when you go home, I'd like for you to read this book of the Bible or whatever. Didn't have it. So that means when they would come together, like you and I are coming together right now, to listen and to hopefully learn more about the ways of God so that we can prosper, they didn't have it. So they would come to a meeting, and they would sit and listen and take notes. I don't know what they took notes on back then, but they'd take notes, and that they had a bit. All right, now I can meditate upon this, I can study this, I can do this, and that will help me in this area. But then they had to wait for the next teaching to get the next little bit, the next verse or the next chapter or whatever. Aren't we so blessed today to have the Word of God in our hands so that we can be prosperous, we can succeed? So just to let you know that the Inuit, which we in era call Eskimos, but those people have just started getting the Bible about 10 years ago in their language. So when men and women would go into that cold area and spend months and years there teaching them the Bible, that's what they had. They had what that man or that woman told them God said in His Word. And it wasn't until much later, maybe their children or their grandchildren or great-grandchildren would actually have a Bible so that they could get the instruction of the Lord in printed form. So here I was talking with my contact up in northern Ontario, and I was scheduled to go there, and he said, well, we can't because the snow's not deep enough. We'll have to wait until March. And then I said, well, what about those areas where there are roads going into the towns and there are places where we could go and teach and it would be difficult, but at least we could get there. And I said, and he started talking about some other people going to those places. And I thought, well, why is he not letting me go there? You know, why is he asking someone else to go to those places? And I said, and so I asked him, I said, well, why is it you're wanting me to go to the areas that so difficult to reach and there are no roads there and it's close to impossible? He said, because you're a teacher and they need teaching. They've not had teaching yet. And these other areas, we're still doing evangelism. We're still planting churches. We're still trying to get churches started. There we have churches, but they're starving to death for the word and they need teachers. And so I've heard you teach and I want you to go to those areas. Well, that kind of made me feel good, you know. I don't understand why he did that, but you know, that's, God has a call in our life, amen? So here he's teaching Joshua, you need to meditate, you need to dwell in my word, and as you do that, you will prosper. You will be successful in what you do, and things will happen. But John also, in 3 John, he's praying for health. And as I looked at that and looked at a few commentaries, it was mentioned that he wasn't just talking about physical health. He was talking about mental health and spiritual health. You know, we have to be prosperous. We have to be healthy in our minds to be able to not just understand the Word of God, but also, are you ready for this, to understand each other. Think about it. Each of us have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. We've had different experiences. And if you've had anything at all to do with people from another family or even another culture, you can begin to understand that, hey, you know, not everybody thinks just like I do. You know, that's true. I was sharing with your Italian pastor that I married a full-blown Italian. Mom was from Sicily, and Dad was from southern Italy, and she has 7 sisters, and I came from an English-German background. Everything's quiet and steady, and you never raise your voice, and you don't talk about certain things, you know. And I got married into this family where everybody's business is everybody's business, you know. And so they're all right now at a retreat. Karen is with her 99-year-old mom, and all the 8 girls are able to get together for a weekend, an Italian weekend. And so I love Missouri. It's a long way from North Georgia. But I guarantee you, I'll get an earful when I get home. I'll know every conversation that happened and everything that was said. But I just want you to know that people are different. And so in order to have good mental health, we first must have good spiritual health. Knowing the Word of God, understanding with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you men are going to be studying about in Proverbs 1st through the 9th chapter, you're going to learn a lot about using wisdom. Wisdom, by the way, is free. You know, in James it tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to us if we ask in faith. But I just want to warn you ahead of time that sometimes having wisdom is not all it's cracked out to be. Because if you have wisdom, you hear voices like, don't say that, don't do that, don't go there. And that body you live in and that mind that you deal with is going to want, they need to hear this. I'm going to say this. No, that's not good. Don't do that. Yeah, but they need to hear it. No, don't do that. And so we've got to do what wisdom says. And then we get knowledge and understanding. Amen. And happy marriages. All right. So anyway, we have to have good spiritual health to have good mental health. And then, believe it or not, there's been a lot of studies lately that talks about hormones and enzymes and all those things in our body and those little organs we didn't know we have, glands and things that if we have certain, I'm not sure exactly what it would be called, cortisol. Anyway, it's something that's excreted by an organ in the brain, and if you get too much of that, it ruins your physical health. You know, so we don't want to have bad physical health, so have good mental health. And he's saying, may you be in good health. But he says, even as your soul prospers. What is the soul? We know it as the mind, the will, and the emotions. So therefore, if our soul doesn't prosper, is not in good health, then we're not going to be in good health anywhere in our bodies. Amen? Wow, that looks like I lost my notes. Went to another message. Oh, y'all ready to hear that? Oh, no. Wait. I found it. I got back here. All right. So in Proverbs 23:7, it says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to be very careful what we think, because we're going to act on our thoughts. If we have wisdom, it'll come along and say, don't do that, you know. Then we have to make sure that we're obedient. In Proverbs 4:7-9, you'll be getting this a little bit later with Pastor. Philippians 4:7-9, it says this, and the peace of God, peace. Isn't that a good word? To have peace in the family, have peace among you and your children, have peace with your neighbor, to have just peace, period. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and now here's the way to have peace. Are you ready? I was eating breakfast in the hotel next door, and the lady asked me, she said, you want me to turn the TV on and get the news? I said, no. I said, I don't want my mind to be filled with that this morning. I want peace. I said, I'd rather read the Bible this morning in my room than listen to the news. And I listen to the news, and probably just like you, it messes me up. Start dwelling on those things, and presidents that say things they shouldn't say, and countries that, well, never mind. Let's go back to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we want to have good physical, mental, and spiritual health. This is a good place to start. In our thought life, what we allow to enter our ear gates, because it's going to bring peace or it's not going to bring peace. And by the way, I remind you that the Bible tells us in the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount that to be anxious is a sin. We're not supposed to be anxious. And it'll help us in our battle against anxiety if we would just think on good things. And that will help us. Amen? So the question today then is, how do we prosper in our soul? How do we prosper in our soul? As Christians, we've been given two things to help us do that. And I'd like to talk about them for just a minute. And those two things are the Word of God, the Bible. God has given that to us as a gift. And He's also given us Holy Spirit so that we can understand the Word of God. If we have those two things, that's a very good start. Those are good foundation stones for living a life that prospers in every way, not just in one way, but in every way. So let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Paul is telling his disciple Timothy, all scripture, how much is all? All of it, every part of it. It doesn't matter. Don't leave anything out. Study it all and do what it says. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know if anybody has an Amplified Bible, but I'd like to read that again in the Amplified, and it gives a little bit more understanding. Listen to this. Same verses, but in the Amplified. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word that stood out with me is well-fitted. Me and you especially understand this because you have to work on mechanical things from time to time. You have to do things around the house. And you ladies, I'm sure you've had to put jar lids back on. And if they were put on incorrectly, you had to find some way to get it back off. And that wasn't exactly easy. I don't touch plumbing. You guys probably are wondering, what does he do? He doesn't do mechanical work, he doesn't plumbing. But I have to be real careful with my confession when it comes to plumbing, because I used to say I could just look at that and it's going to start leaking. And it would. So I've learned to change my confession. I confess I'm calling a plumber who's proficient in everything he puts his hands to. But you know, if you've ever had something and it, you didn't get it fitted, it's very difficult to work with. You know, and it's that way in life. If we use a if we use a philosophical idea, or if we listen to the world and the way they say things should be done, if we look at politics and the things that aren't getting done, we know that things must fit together well in order for you to be successful in what you do. Amen? So I'm glad that the Word of God is well causes me to be well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work, even if it's just a simple thing like putting a headlamp in. Amen? However, in order to be to benefit by the Scriptures, we must be able to understand them. And not everybody understands the Scriptures. In fact, if you are not a Christian, you can't understand the script words. You can't understand spiritual things except through the Spirit of God. And he says, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, he's talking about Christians, believers, you and I, okay? I'm hoping everybody in here is a believer. If not, listen to Pastor when he gets up. It says, we have received not the spirit of the world. Now, how many of you are very aware there's a spirit of the world? Amen? It's running wild right now. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That's Holy Spirit. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. I like that word, freely. Which things we also speak, not in words taught. My brother, who's 9 years younger than me, and as much as I run toward God, he runs away from God. He finally got straightened out a little bit, but he doesn't read his Bible anymore, and he doesn't progress in the things of God. So he's not prospering anyway right now in any way. But anyway, and they knew him, and so he walked in these circles, and when I would say things like that, he'd just shake his head. Hey, you're just crazy. See, he's walking in the natural, and he doesn't understand spiritual truths. He can't understand them because they are spiritual. Notice I didn't say it. I said he, because Holy Spirit is a he. It's not a it. It's not a it. He's not a it. It's so hard to get used to that. But in John 16, verses 13 through 15, it begins this way. But when he... the Spirit, and will disclose it to you. We're talking about soul prosperity. We're talking about being healthy. We're talking about things of God. We're thinking about living in this year of 2018 with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and making decisions to go from day to day. You know? If we have that, and we do, it's already been told us in the Word, these things are yours for your benefit. And I love you, and I want good things for you. Amen? It's like I saw a sign down here at Ozark Land. I have some junk in there. I mean, a good place to go for fudge. And that's what I did. I stopped just for two reasons. They had a restroom, and they had fudge. And I partook of both. But while I was there, I decided to just walk back and read some of those slogans. You know, they got these little signs, and I read those things. And when nobody's looking, I take pictures, so I can't remember all of them, and some of them are worth repeating. So anyway, I'm in there, and I'm looking at all those things. And going back to what I said about Canada, those people don't have a Bible, many of them. And they don't study, and they don't understand, because a lot of them are trying to understand it in context of their background, which is very, because the Bible uses words like going from glory to glory. It uses examples of the sower sowing the word, and the one who sowed in the good soil, guess what? They went from 30-fold. I really wanted to talk to you about spiritual things, but because you're still on milk to meet. You understand? So in this year of 2018, we have what we need, you know, the word of God. That in Deuteronomy 28, it says, just obey the rule, commandments of the law, and there are other laws of grace that we obey. And if we would just live our lives according to that, prosper. It says that will come up and overtake us. You go prosper. Soul needs to prosper first. Amen. So how do we prosper souls? One area is desire. What is our desire? In the Old Testament 33, it talks about the Lord. He would go out to the tent pitched outside the camp. First of all, he had to get there. He's always there. But to get up, leave camp, go outside, and he would go into the tent of meeting. The cloud would move. The cloud would move until it went. And God would converse like a man does. But it also said that leave the tent would not leave. He would, because he wanted that. And I think that's what we did this year in 2018. Look at what is our desire. It's our desire. Because for God, we will pursue God. Allow us to find him. Amen. So the desire is very important. And the last thing, and I want, if we'll go to Book of Revelation. But desire helps us. And then he's given us the word and the Holy Spirit. We can be successful. We can prosper in that. But another thing, and there are many things, but